we start and we have our, you know, I always think of that that phrase, the best laid plans of mice and men. And many times that, you know, we have something that we've prepared, and then God says, hey, okay, yeah, you've done this, and that's good, because we've needed to study, but I have other things for you. And so with that in mind, you know, we're going to, you know, really take a lot of the notes out today and just focus in one area. And, you know, just a couple of things that I know that, you know, that I wanted to make highlights of is that, you know, this passage really is talking about the love of God. And we look and see in Matthew 25 and 26, we see that we're supposed to, with the love of God, love other people. And with that, you know, that passage that says, you know, if you see your brother that has two coats, don't tell them, hey, be warm and well fed and God bless you, but give them your coat. And notice it's not like if you see your brother begging, saying, give me your jacket. But you see a need and God has us respond to that need. And, you know, that's really important, is because that's how we show the love of God to other people. And God, you know, and Yeshua in these chapters was really coming up against, you know, these Pharisees and the Pharisaical behavior and all of this, saying, hey, you know, not all Pharisees are bad, but the ones who are doing it for religious purposes are doing it for the wrong reasons. We need to be responding out of love. And really, that was all, you know, we see the ultimate love of God coming. And we see it preemptively, the Messiah starts speaking about this new covenant. And there's a lot of confusion about the new covenant. And, you know, with that, yeah, I know this passage, there's a lot of things, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Old Testament references, there's a lot of prophecy being fulfilled here. But really, I wanted to focus on that one spot about the new covenant, where the Messiah says that this is my blood of the new covenant being poured out for you. Now, the word new, let me tell you right now, that is not in the original text in Matthew. That was added. It's not there in the Greek. So really, it says, for this is my blood of the covenant being poured out for you. The blood of Messiah has always covered the sins of men.
Amen.
It's just at the right time He came to pay. You know, at that right time, He demonstrated His love for us. And yet, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Right? Amen. It was in God's perfect time. But it has nothing to do with a new covenant. That was His continuing covenant. And so, just I wanted to look kind of about covenants because, you know, I see in Exodus chapter 24, it says, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Hashem has made with you in accordance with all these words. So, this mindset that says that the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Messiah, but sadly that blood is only effective from when He died in, you know, 32, 28, whatever your take is, AD. But before that, you had to make the right sacrifices. No, the blood of Messiah has always covered the sins of people. And when you look at the hall of faith, we see, you know, the heroes of faith like Abraham looking forward to what the Messiah did. You see David looking forward to what the Messiah did. And their hope was in what the Messiah was going to do for them. He has always been the salvation. So, with this new covenant, like I say, it's not there. It's not there in the book of Matthew. In fact, you know, and it got me thinking, there are five covenants that are mentioned in Scripture. First of all, we see the covenant with Noah in Genesis chapter 9, where God promises never again to destroy the earth with water. And here, as we get in Judaism, and you know, and also in Messianic Judaism, we see the Noahide laws that are there, which this passage is in Judaism, how Gentiles can receive the salvation from God.
Amen.
And that's part of that covenant, because salvation only comes from God, right?
Amen.
We see the next covenant is the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, 13, 15, and 17, where it says that God promises to bless Abraham and his descendants. And there is also a promise that salvation for everyone. You know, the whole world is going to be blessed through a descendant of Abraham, and that's the Messiah, right? That's Yeshua. And Galatians 3 says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and is due to his descendant. Notice it doesn't say descendants referring to many, but your descendant referring to one person, and that is the Messiah. Yeah. So we see that covenantal promise with Abraham. The next covenant we see is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the covenant with those who are obedient to the word of God. There are blessings for those who obey, right? And there's curses for those who disobey. It's just a matter of fact. And that even goes along with what the scripture says regarding our sin life. If we follow just those, even just the Ten Commandments, God will hear our prayer. But if we live our life violating those Ten Commandments, God doesn't answer our prayers, right? And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, why isn't God answering my prayer? And my first response is, well, are you doing something wrong? Now, of course, it doesn't mean that every time that God doesn't answer prayer, that you're doing something wrong. Sometimes He doesn't answer the prayer the way that we want to, because He has something better for us. How many of you are glad that God has not answered all your prayers? Hannah's got two hands up there, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, there's some prayers that I pray, and I'm like, oh Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Lord, that the answer was, You know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so with that, you know, come back to the covenantal promises. There's a promise for obedience. Now the next covenant that we see is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, which we see the covenant with David, where it states that the Messiah would come through the bloodline of David, and from his family will come the eternal king, which is the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
And then we see the fifth covenant. Listen to this. This is from Jeremiah 31. It says, behold, days are coming, declares God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares Hashem. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my Torah within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again, each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more.
Thank God.
So, where is this covenant? It's upon the hearts, right?
Amen.
And 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, you are demonstrating that you are all the Messiah's letter produced by our service, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
Hallelujah.
God wants His covenant written on the heart. Now the problem is a lot of people use this passage of Scripture, because it's quoted again in Hebrews chapter 8, and they say all those other covenants are negated. Let's read this passage. It's Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 13, and it says, but God found something wrong with His people when He said, look, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors at the time when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not remain loyal to my covenant. Let's pause there. The problem wasn't with God's covenant. The problem was with the people, right? They were chasing after other gods. So He says, I ignored them. For this is the covenant that I made with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. Never again will everyone teach his neighbor or brother, saying, know the Lord. Because all of them will know me, from the least important to the most important. For I will be merciful regarding their wrong deeds, and I will never again remember the sins. And listen to the next verse, and this is the one that's always out of context. And speaking of the new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. So a lot of people use this as an excuse to get rid of everything and just says, hey, we've got the new covenant, because of that translation error in Matthew. We've got this new covenant, so we don't need to do all that other stuff. We don't need to be obedient to God. We don't need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul and resources. We don't need to love our neighbors ourselves. You know, and I think of, you know, and the point here is that some people are trying to say that this means that the Torah is no longer valid, but this belief is contradiction to what Yeshua says. Because what does he say? Referring to the Torah, right? Not one little decorative little item on one letter of the Torah is going to pass away until he comes to reign. And so this is not talking about getting rid of the Word of God. This is talking about the future. Because if we're truly living under this new covenant, everyone's going to know about God. Does everybody know about God here? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and so really, you know, saying that all these, you know, that's the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. Here, I have a problem with that. Because if you're saying all those covenants are no longer valid, what you're saying is God can now break His promise. If covenants are no longer valid, those old covenants are no longer valid, that means that God can once again flood the earth with water and destroy all mankind. That means the covenant of the rainbow is no longer valid. And that means that God is a liar. So, my question is for all these people who believe that the new covenant's only valid, how come they're not building an ark? Because the scripture says, in the end times, so it was in the days of Noah. If you really believe that that old covenant stuff is invalid, and the end times of the days of Noah, you better start building an ark because it's going to start raining. And God's a liar. I have a problem with that.
May it never be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know, think about these other covenants. That means that all the nations of the world will no longer be blessed through the seed of Abraham. That means that we can accept replacement theology and Jews no longer get into the kingdom of heaven. It's all about the church. Where I have never seen the word church in Scripture, I've always seen the assembly. And the assembly is always about people, no matter what their ethnic heritage is.
Right.
It's all pertaining to getting together under the banner of God,
right,
and praising Him. Not mattering where they're coming from, but it matters where they're going to. And it's only by the grace of God. And it's always been by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Always been by the grace of God. By grace you've been saved.
Hallelujah.
Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness, not as circumcision.
That's right. Hear it?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So, if the Torah is no longer valid, I'm going to be sarcastic here, I guess it's okay for us to break the commandments to our heart's content, right? Because that's the new covenant, right? That's the New Testament. Well, let me read something out of the New Testament. This is Romans 6. Oh, he's quoting Paul. Paul was the first replacement theologist. No, he wasn't.
No.
But let's read what Paul says. What should I say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Of course not. How can he who died as far as sin is concerned go on living in it? If we have died to ourselves, why are we still trying to live in sin? You know that verse, I've been crucified with the Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but the Messiah who lives in me. Well, you know, Rabbi, he became sin for us, so I need to become sin for other people. Yeah. Wow, Stephen's just... I'm being sarcastic once again. Do you see the logic? The logic is flawed here. Baptist corner. That's okay, Pastor. I still love you. Yeah. But you know what? We need to look forward to the new covenant. Because the new covenant is coming when the Messiah comes. The new covenant is coming because we've got to look at what the requirements are. First of all, everyone knows Yeshua. We're not there yet. So that new covenant cannot be enacted yet.
That's right. That's good.
Yeah, because not everyone knows the Messiah.
Right.
Teaching the Scripture has not become useless.
That's right.
What does the Scripture say? How are they going to know without a teacher?
Right.
And not everyone knows of the Messiah.
Right.
So this covenant hasn't come yet. And there will be no need for evangelism anymore during the time of this new covenant. Because everyone has already heard the good news and is already part of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So right on.
Well, amen. So if anyone says, hey, well, you know, we're under the new covenant, I'm like, oh, wow, did the rapture happen and we missed it? Does everybody know about God and Yeshua Jesus? I don't see this. I don't see this. And this is a future covenant. This is a future covenant. Yeah. So what's our response to this? What is our response to this? We need to strive to see that this covenant comes to pass. How do we strive for that? Teach everyone about the Messiah. And Hazel, you were so right. Yeah, Hazel was giving a preemptive strike through the Holy Spirit this morning about what the message was. It doesn't matter because we don't know. And you know, even in the assemblies, there are people that are going to say, well, Lord, didn't I do all this wonderful stuff in your name? I was the chairman of the deacon committee. I was on the missions board. I taught from the podium the Word of God. And how sad that he's going to hear words like, depart from me, I never knew you. So we cannot assume that anyone knows the Messiah. God's Word says you will know them by their what? By their fruits. If someone claims to be a brother and a sister and part of the assembly, but yet they're not living their life like they should be. And there's indicators we know, right? We can tell by what people's priorities are. We can tell by how people talk. Or, you know, I remember one time I ran into some guy and was just trying to minister to him. And I asked him, so, you know, what do you do? Well, I work for blah, 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 and I work for this kind of company. Oh, really? Do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I know that guy. How do you know him? Well, he comes to the assembly where I meet at. That guy believes in Jesus? You've got to be kidding me. Wow. What is that? Why? What's going on? Why are people living one way during Sabbath and then they go out and live someplace else? We need to teach the gospel to all creation. We need to teach the gospel to all creation. All creation. You know, and sometimes that means, oh, wait, well, you know, we're out in the middle of nowhere. I remember one time I was out hiking in the middle of nowhere, and the Lord brought that passage to mind. Teach the gospel to all creation. And all of a sudden, these crows came flying by. Praise the Lord, crows! And they started going, ah, ah, ah! Yeah! And really, if you think about this, if we make it a habit to tell everything and everyone that we come across the good news of Messiah, people are going to think that we're crazy.
Amen.
That's okay. We are crazy, right, Hannah? Yeah. We're crazy about the Messiah. We're crazy about the new covenant. And we're crazy about the time when that new covenant's going to be enacted. So we need to remember that. The new covenant. Yeah. We haven't gotten there yet. But it's been started by the blood of Messiah. It has been in existence by the blood of Messiah. Because even though He came at a specific time, His blood covers a multitude of sins, starting from eternity past and going to eternity future. And that's the new covenant I'm excited about. So until that day, till we plow, pound those swords into plowshares, and there's peace because we're going to study war no more, right? Think of that spiritual song. Going to lay down my burden down at the riverside and study war no more. But until that time, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we put on the armor of God. We put on the helmet of salvation. The belt of truth. Truth, that belt holds everything together. That breastplate of righteousness, right? Is held together by truth. We've got the gospel on our feet. One thing I always say is that, there's no wrong way of sharing the gospel. It usually starts with a testimony, right? All of us have different testimonies. Don't we all have different shoes? But what matters is that we use those shoes to go out and share the good news with people. We take that shield of faith. We take the sword, which is the Word of God. And notice it's a two-edged sword. Not only does it help us in battle against the adversary, but that two-edged sword also helps us get all the junk out of our life as well. We use the Word of God to tell people the truth of who God is. And that in spite of what people think, we have always been saved by grace. We've always, been saved as a result of faith that is credited to us as righteousness. There's no one who's not good. No, not one. Some people might say, hey, I'm good. Look at what I do. I'm good. I do this. I do that. I'm good. There's no one good as far as God's concerned. But that doesn't keep us from striving to be holy as He wants us to be holy, right? So let's not use grace as an excuse to live how we want to. Let's use grace to go out as our motivation to share with this lost and dying world. By our example, it's by our lifestyle. A lot of times your actions speak more than your words. What does the scripture say? Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our good deeds, our light shining is us not lying to people, not stealing from people, not coveting what people have, but showing the greater love of God. There's no greater love and someone who lays down their life for a friend, right? We give up things here on earth so that we can be a blessing to others. We don't give up things here just to say, hey, look how much I've given up. But when God blesses us with two coats, we give out one. When God blesses us with a couple of Bibles, shouldn't we be willing to give one away to someone who doesn't have one? Yeah. When God gives us an abundance, don't we share with our brothers and sisters? Yeah. Let's continue to strive on these good things. And let me encourage you. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Each and every one of you, keep pressing on. And this is family here in this room. We know that. What's that old saying? You can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. We're stuck with each other.
Amen.
for all eternity. Hannah's like, oy vey. Yeah. But with that, I can say with all confidence for those in this room, keep pressing on in the good things that God has for you. Keep being a light. I see light on many of you. And that's the light of the Holy Spirit moving. I'll only pick on one person. I'm going to pick on Richard. And, Richard knows that those who I love the most, I pick on the most. And so you guys must know I really love Stefan and Richard and Eric and a few others, because I really pick on those guys. But I will say this. A couple weeks ago, we saw the Messiah just totally move upon Richard and his brother Charlie. We saw such a huge release of generational curses upon them. And because of Richard's response and obedience, his brother Charlie benefited as well. Think about that. And that's his blood brother. How much more for our spiritual brothers and sisters, as we respond in the things of obedience, will our brothers and sisters benefit? And it was really cool because the Holy Spirit had come in such a powerful way and there was such a release. Kelly saw it. It was great. Yeah. It was great. That it was like, I had like a Moses moment. Where Richard was just beaming so brightly. I can hear the world saying, cover yourself, Richard. You're too bright. Let's not listen to the world. If they get a problem with our brightness, they can buy sunglasses. Right, Hazel? Exactly. Let's continue to be bright with the covenant of Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and bow and close our eyes.